Don't you know that we are stronger together? Stronger, yes, we are so much more.
Welcome to the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Meet 'em, greet 'em, treat 'em, and street 'em. Today's date is June 20th, 2017, and I am your skeptical host, Ken Milne. The title of today's podcast is Feminem, Stronger Together. And our guest skeptic is Dr. Dara Kass. She is an emergency physician, mother of three, wife of one, and champion for the evolution of women in medicine. She's also the editor-in-chief of, wait for it, FemInEm, Females in Emergency Medicine. Welcome to the SGEM, Dara.
Thank you for having me, Ken.
It's my pleasure. And you know what? It was that other woman, Diane Birnbaumer, who put us into contact.
Yeah, Diane is one of the OG original gangsters of women in emergency medicine.
Oh, every time I see her, I'm thinking, I'm not worthy. She is brilliant. I absolutely love working with her. And the last time we were working together, Diane and I were talking about a project that we were going to do addressing physician burnout.
Yeah, she had mentioned it to me after you guys had started talking, and she is really passionate now about this idea of burnout and mindfulness and how we can really minimize or manage the levels of stress and inputs we have as physicians.
Yeah, our burnout project is with a psychology professor from Western University, Dr. Minda, and he has this 8-week intervention to prevent or mitigate burnout.
Right. So what exactly are you doing?
Well, you want to know what it is, do you? Well, it involves mindfulness. And if you want to know more about the subject, you can check out the podcast I did with Diane on SGEM number 178. It is not better to burn out than it is to rest.
Yeah, it's funny. I listened to that podcast and it was amazing. Not just because I felt very zen by the end of it and I felt like I had achieved a level of mindfulness that I hadn't before, but nobody really wants to burn out. And resting is the whole analogy is true. We need to address this now. And women, we can talk about over time how this really does affect women in medicine and how many layers of, you know, of issue we're putting in over and over again before we address it. So I think that it's a great project, and I'm wholeheartedly in your corner supporting it.
Well, just acknowledge it. And then move on. Actually, we're going to be approaching the FemInEm community to see if they want to participate in the research project.
Sounds like something that we would definitely be interested in.
Dara?
Yes, Ken?
Can I tell you a secret?
I hope you will.
Well, I'm going to be doing a summer series. Now, this is just between me and you, right?
Is there anybody else here?
No, just you and me. That's why I love podcasts, the audio format. It feels like people are talking directly to me. And so I'm going to be talking just to you here. I'm actually doing a series this summer called Legends of Emergency Medicine. And Diane Birnbaumer is one of those legends.
Well, I will also tell you a secret if you're ready.
Oh, I'm ready.
Okay. Diane is one of our keynote speakers at the FemInEm conference in October. Have you heard about it?
I have heard about it. The fix is in.
The fix is in. So I will tell you a little more about it later. But one of the things we did when we said, can we get who's the speaker to start our first ever conference for women in emergency medicine? Who will set the stage? Diane Birnbaumer was our thought.
Of course she was. Well, some people may not agree with my selections of Legends of Emergency Medicine. But you know what? They're the people that inspired me, and I think they're legends in emergency medicine.
I support your perspective on your legends, and I'm looking forward to seeing who those legends may be. I may not think they're all, wait for it, legendary, but I do look forward to finding out the list and, more importantly, seeing hopefully lots of women on that list.
Well, you listen and let me know about any of the legends you have. Do you have any that you might want to mention here or give a shout out to?
Well, so I think that, you know, when I think about legends, right, so you have to achieve some certain age to become a legend, right? It's hard to be a legend, at, you know, as a first year attending. And for me, you know, there's all these trailblazers and legends in emergency medicine. And the every person, you know, I work with Dr. Goldfrank. He's clearly a legend, right? Wrote the book on toxicology, or Judy Tintinelli. But one of the things, the legends that I'm kind of lauding over right now are these women chairs in emergency medicine, because there are so few women chairs, and yet every single one of them is right now managing to change the landscape for the enormous number of women coming down the pipeline. So women like Jill Barron, Gail D'Onofrio, Sherry Hobgood, Annie Zdowski, I mean, there's so many legendary women who are chairs now of these academic departments. And then the other women who are now affecting a change in the community for the women working in the community EDs and becoming leaders in those groups. I am excited to see what they do and how many more women come through as the CEOs and academic chairs of departments.
Now, next summer, I might need to do a follow-up series called Future Legends of Emergency Medicine. And after getting to know you preparing for this episode, I think you're going to be on that list.
Well, I graciously accept the idea of being a future legend of emergency medicine, with the full disclaimer that I am way too young to be a legend at this time.
Well, let's get to the formal part of the podcast. And, you know, we're not doing a structured critical review of a recent paper trying to cut the knowledge translation window down from over 10 years to less than 1 year using the power of social media and talking nerdy. No, this is an SGEM extra. So I'm going to ask you 5 questions about Feminem. Sound good?
Sounds good to me.
All right. Well, the first question, as Simon Sinek says in his book, it starts with why. So why Feminem?
So why Feminem? For all the reasons you just said about knowledge translation. So Feminem is trying to do for the careers of women in emergency medicine what you're trying to do for evidence-based medicine. So we're taking the conversations around gender equity and around, you know, salary gaps and around promotion differences, and we're putting it out there in an open access format so that conversations happen faster. They happen between all levels of learners and leaders. They happen across countries, and they happen in real time so that we can make changes, because it's great to talk about problems and it's great to talk about papers and numbers. But at the end of the day, these are people's careers. And if it takes 17 years to affect a change in clinical practice, right, that's most of the career that I'm looking at. And I can't wait 17 years to figure out how to get promoted in my job or get a schedule that's survivable. And so why Feminem? Because we have to. And why not? Because when it's over and when it's solved, we'll be done.
Okay, so you're going to address things like pay equity, speakers at conferences, speakers at grand rounds.
Yeah, so when we go into what is Feminem, or maybe other ideas of what we're doing, we'll kind of, I think, dial down a little bit into the layers of issues that we've tried to address and how we've put some solutions forward that have really helped change the landscape in real time for the women in our field.
So then what is Feminem? What is it?
So what is Feminem? Feminem is solution-based conversation around the issues facing women in emergency medicine. So one of the great examples I can use is speakers at emergency medicine conferences, right? So we know there's limitations on promotion and tenure, and that speaking at conferences, being a nationally recognized speaker, being invited to give grand rounds is a great way to help contribute to your promotion and tenure. We also know that when women in the audience are aspiring to leadership and feeling that they can achieve something, by seeing women on the stage, they are immediately getting mentors. They're getting people that they're looking up to. They're getting icons. They're getting Diane Birnbaumers, right? Going back to our opener, right? Diane is somebody that has been on stage for years. And that's how people like me realized that it was possible to change, to lead. Right, to see her as a keynote at ASAP, or to understand that when she's doing all of her kind of like national review podcasts or lectures. And so we realized that there weren't enough women on stage. And this actually came from a very well-known story, but ultimately we realized that the reason women weren't on stage was because the conference organizers didn't know a lot of women that they thought were qualified, or they didn't know how to reach the women that they may want to invite. And so what we did at FemineM, and what is FemineM, and how do we use the open access resource to cut the translation of a solution, is we created the FemineM Speakers Bureau, right? So what is that? It's a searchable database of women speakers in emergency medicine on topics from toxicology to EMS to leadership development to anything you can think of. And it's entirely self-submitted. So women, they write their own profile, they submit a video or an audio of themselves speaking, and they get to show all of the conference organizers what they have to offer. And the conference organizers can see it in the privacy of their own home or wherever they are. And if they want to invite that speaker, they can. There's an apply now or a contact me button. And it facilitates the invitation of women as speakers all over the world. And what we've noticed is the numbers are slowly moving. We're seeing an increase in women speaking, both because conference organizers can see them and get to them, but also because it kind of undercuts this bias idea that women don't speak, that they don't want to speak, that they don't want to be lecturers, right? We have almost 200 self-submitted women speakers in emergency medicine on the Speakers Bureau.
I've looked through it, and wow, what a powerhouse of talented people on that list.
And it's a real cross-section of, you know, residents to full professors, right? One of the things that we really wanted to encourage was, and this, you know, kind of to overlay onto our conference, is we have residents speaking at the FemineM conference because they have perspectives and they have things that are important to say. But we also want to show that learners at many different levels can contribute to the conversation and be speakers on different topics. And it allows us, when we're talking about this idea of gender inequity in speaking, you know, one of the big answers to that is, well, there aren't enough women who are established, or they aren't, you know, professors, or they haven't been around for long enough, right? And so one of the things we're trying to show by example is you don't have to wait for everybody to be a full professor to invite them to speak, because that basically overlies a lot of the other bias issues with women not becoming full professors, right? So it's great to say, it's like you can't get a driver's license if you can't see, but if you're blind, all of a sudden you're never going to drive. Like, you need to have these, you need to recognize that when you're adding a layer of bias onto a criteria to address a layer of bias, you are never going to get to a solution. And so we're trying at FemineM to address these biases in non-traditional ways and to show people how they can too.
And so you've organized that all into a website?
So we use the power of social media, is a good way to say it. We harness every medium that is offered socially. So we have a website, and the website is open access. It's free to the user. There's no login or anything. Then we also have our Facebook group. We have actually a public Facebook group that we post our articles. And then we have a private Facebook group that you have to join only to facilitate conversations. We have our Twitter feed, which allows us to kind of share information and engage in the Twitter sphere with lots of interesting people around the world. And then we also have our Instagram, which is a way that we can kind of show. One of my favorite things we're doing on our Instagram now is we're highlighting all the speakers for the conference in these infographics. And one of the things that we're trying to do is show that we have these incredible speakers, like as if any other major conference, right? Here they are. Here's a graphic about them. Here's their picture and a little bit about them. And then interesting facts. So somebody's a hiker or a youper. What is a youper anyway?
I don't know.
Apparently people in Canada youp or something.
I am not up to date on my youping.
So anyway, if anyone out there is a youper, please let us know. But it's a great way to get to know the speakers. And Instagram you know, lets us do that. The last one is Snapchat, which I am entirely reluctant to get involved with. My daughter likes to show me how to use it, and she's 9. But we're getting there. So we're using every medium of social media to kind of get the message out of what we're doing.
It's interesting to hear you talk about putting your toe into that Snapchat realm, because I've got a 13-year-old daughter, and that's what she likes to do with me. She likes to send me Snapchat photos, and I'm still getting my head around it.
If anyone out there can explain why putting animal ears on your head is really, really funny.
It's hilarious.
So, I'd love to know that.
So we've covered the why in Feminem. We've covered the what in Feminem. We were talking before this podcast started recording, saying that it takes more than just data. It takes more than just numbers. It takes a story, some kind of personal connection, and people want to feel connected. So the third question that I had for you about Feminem was, can you tell us your story?
I think my story is pretty typical, or maybe it's not. So I am I went to emergency medicine residency at Kings County in Brooklyn. I was born to be an ER doctor, right? I my mom was a nurse at Brookdale, which is a trauma center in Brooklyn. And so when I was a kid, she came home and she would tell me stories of the July 4th fireworks explosion, that somebody was still holding the firework in their hand and now they don't have a hand. And I was like, I need to work there, right? I was always going to be an ER doctor. And then I showed up to medical school the first day. I went to the ER. I said, I'm here. Teach me something. And I loved it. And then through residency, I got married and I had 3 kids. And over time, I realized that it is really hard to do it all, right? And we know that. But I'm married to somebody that isn't a doctor. And we live in a city that requires us both to work. And his job is arguably more demanding than mine a lot of times. And, you know, you can only bend a nail so far before it breaks. And I was realizing how often I was almost breaking. And how many challenges I had. And me personally, you know, I had my 3rd child and he actually needed a liver transplant. And so, which was an amazing story unto itself. But what it did was it re-reminded me along the way, both of how lucky I was, but how valuable my time was, and how many layers I was putting onto my time and my management of my career, my everything, whenever anything came through, right? So every new issue that came, I would manage it and work and manage it and work. And every one of us, when I would talk about our issues or my friends at work or in my women's groups, we were all solving our problems our own way, but we were coming to similar solutions. And one of the other things about me, which I think most people know, is I am one of the better connectors, right? To go back to Malcolm Gladwell, right? I'm a fierce connector of people. And so when I hear one person has one issue and then I hear somebody else has another issue, I immediately connect them to solve their problem together. And so I looked at these problems in the landscape for women and I was like, well, if we brought these women together, we would solve this problem. And so I did that, right? And I had been doing a lot of stuff in educational innovation and social media and foam for my residency and other parts of what I was doing. And it struck me as odd that we weren't solving our professional development problems and our people problems the same way we were solving our medicine problems. And so I said to my husband, you know, I think this is a solution. Let's do this. And he was supportive. And so I basically did it. And I reframed a lot of what I was doing. And I invested in the website. And I started bringing people together. And I let it really grow and evolve. And it's been entirely invigorating to me. One of the things about me is also, like, I thrive on solutions. And I get energy out of people feeling empowered to do what they need to do. And so all of that has allowed me to feel excited about moving forward with Feminem each layer, because the minute I get, like, back to the speakers bureau, if I hear somebody get invited to speak on a topic that I have no interest in speaking on, and they're so excited to get invited, and they say, thank you for creating this network, I feel it's a gift. And so all of that kind of fills my tank, like I say, and it gives me a little bit of freedom. So I guess that's my story.
It's just your typical story of, you know, going to medical school, struggling through residency, having family obligations, a partner, three kids, one needed a liver transplant, you know, the usual.
Are you saying it's not normal? Because I walk around telling myself how normal my life is.
It's your normal.
My normal.
No, but that's amazing and that's incredible. And what you've done with taking a problem and finding a solution and changing it into some opportunity that you can share with the rest of the world and to benefit patients, I think that's fantastic. But I want to get to number four then, because you've got a fix in. You've got something called Fix 2017. Tell us about that.
Right. One of the things we've done at Feminem is we've really tried to build things as we see the natural solution evolving. And so one of the, as a website and an online community, we had done a lot of interacting with people that we had never met in real life. And so after having gone to some incredible conferences in emergency medicine that have brought together some legends in real life, we realized that it was time for us to do the same thing. And so the Feminem Idea Exchange, which stands F-I-X, you know, Fix 2017, is an opportunity for the women and men in emergency medicine who are talking about the conversation around gender equity to come together in real life and have really 2 to 3 days of time to talk about the issues surrounding gender equity, the journeys of specific women. So we've taken a lot of the best of what we've seen before in women's development and social media and academic conferences. And so the main part of the conference is these lectures that are short form, you know, 10 and 20 minute lectures, and then panels talking about things like how women address global health, not just the global health of women, but women physicians who are trained in global health, right? So you do a fellowship in global health and then you have 2 kids and you can't travel anymore. How do you address that? How are you a champion of change, right? So one of the things we know in kind of the equity conversation is that men are the ones in power, at least for now, right, Ken?
You clearly have not met my wife.
No, right. So that's at home, but not at work. So what we know is that champions are really important and that champions of change are critical to the evolution, especially around things like equity. And so we have an entire panel of men moderated by a female physician who are talking about how they're making changes in their own clinical environments or departments around equity. And it's important to recognize that the champions are important to invite to the conversation. And then we have these really amazing networking events at the conference. We have these dinners that we're organizing where we're taking all 500 people at the conference and we're dividing them up into 50 10-person dinners. And we're going to matchmake the dinners like a wedding, you know, where you put everybody at tables at their own restaurants. And we're going to have different layers of like leadership. So residents with chairs, and everyone will go out to dinner and have these kind of conversations. And hopefully they'll form these longitudinal groups that will help mentor the women younger up, and the older women will help kind of, you know, sponsor those younger women and men. The goal is to facilitate as much of this natural networking that is happening in other places in a way that will be effective at the conference. So the speakers we've invited, we actually had an open access invitation for speakers, and we got some pretty amazing people we'd never heard of. So it's going to be a really exciting time, I think. Anyone that you want to say a shout out to?
You know I do, because I looked through your speakers list while I was doing my background research for this podcast. Eve Purdy, wow. She's amazing. She did that cup song for Smack Conference. She's done one of our podcasts called Goldfinger, and it's on the time for laceration repairs. She is a future legend of emergency medicine, in my opinion.
She is. She's actually somebody that, and there are a few people that you tap them and you're like, hey, I need help with this thing. And then they return it 100 times better than you imagined, because they seem like they have unlimited energy and unlimited creativity and I completely agree with your assessment that she's a future legend. I'd argue she's damn near close already.
And then I noticed Ross Fisher is coming, and he is, wow, what a great speaker. And talk about his P3 ability to give great presentations. Excellent choice.
Well, it's funny because both Eve and Ross add the specter of international flavor to our conference, which makes us a multinational conference for the first time ever, which is pretty cool. But Ross is somebody that when we invited him to speak, he's willing to do anything we need. He's kind of always up for, you know, I will open the door. I will help with presentation design. I will clean up after lunch. Like, he's just so excited to be part of this. And that's an energy that we love having at this conference.
Yeah, I've had the opportunity to work with both Eve and Ross. Ross just recently in Costa Rica. What a great person he is, just to be able to do stuff with, like you were describing.
I have to say, planning this conference was an unexpected privilege. It's been a lot of fun. We've been able to pull together relationships that we've developed over the past 10 or 15 years of doing this job and bring together people that haven't worked together for years. And so, like, Risa Lewis is one of my favorites to talk about, because when we started talking about this conference, and Risa is obviously super well known in emergency medicine and ultrasound, and she speaks at SMAC every year, and she's just an incredible person. And the minute that we mentioned the conference, it was like she had never done anything else, and all of her ideas were ready for this conference, because she had so many brilliant ideas to help contribute to make this thing amazing. And so it's been amazing to watch people just kind of give over this backlog of energy that they've had towards a gender equity kind of conference and development resource for women in our field.
You haven't mentioned when the conference is, where it is, and how people can sign up.
So the conference is in October. It's in New York City. It's October 4th and 5th for the most part. There's a workshop day on the 6th that's almost sold out, but if there's still tickets, please look for them. You can register on our website. So it's www.feminem.org, making sure that everybody goes there anyway after the podcast. And then there's a tab on the top that says Fix 2017, and the registration is right there. It's like shopping on Amazon. It's pretty simple. The registration itself is open until August 15th. We basically only have tickets left for the two-day lectures, which is great, and it's exciting. And the conference is going to be – we're offering CME, obviously, so anyone that has their own CME budget for work can use that to pay for the conference. And I will say that one of the things that we've been able to do, and I'd encourage – anyone interested to coming to the conference to do, is we've been very successful in getting employers to pay for this as an additional conference on top of basic CME because of the uniqueness of the development of physicians and what you can bring back to your own shop afterwards about the idea of gender equity. So it's a great pitch to your boss to say there's this great development conference that nobody's done before. So come, and I can also go to my regular, you know, scheduled CME conference as well. And people have been pretty successful, so I'd encourage them to always ask for more, you know?
Question number 5, the final question is, I want to know, what's the ultimate goal of Feminem? What do you hope to achieve?
I mean, I hope that Feminem is irrelevant, right? I hope that we've achieved equity and it's done. And I don't expect that to happen. But I really hope that Feminem empowers people on a daily basis. One of the hardest parts about balancing the challenges of career aspiration and emergency medicine and having a family or having parents or having anything is the feeling that you might be alone. And back to the burnout we were talking about, you know, women physicians are extraordinarily vulnerable to burnout. And I mean, we know the suicide numbers are higher for women physicians than in women in medicine than women in the general population. And so the best way we can counter that is to have a community that's easily accessible and then help deliver resources either towards equity and balance and then also the tools, which is where the mindfulness will come in. Our ultimate goal is to have people's initial thought when they're feeling either overwhelmed or have a new issue that they need to address, or they're having an issue with their boss, is to say, well, I wonder if there's a solution here, right? And go to the website and see that there is a solution and that we've talked about it and that it's there for them. And then if they have more questions, they can then not start from square one. I guess that's kind of the ultimate goal, right? Is to be the ultimate resource for Feminem.
I'm going to put my spin on it, and I'm going to go all the way back to the start of the podcast and the theme music you picked, Stronger Together. And I think that's a really important message, and that we're stronger together.
Yeah. So we are kind of obsessed with this notion at Feminem. And one of the things that I say in every lecture I give and in every time I refer to Feminem is it's for women in emergency medicine. Insofar as the inequity affects them, we include and invite everybody to the conversation. One of the articles that I wrote in this process was about paternity leave. And you as a Canadian may not understand the plight of the Americans, but we are not doing so well down here. You know, encouraging our male partners at work and our friends and our colleagues to take time with their own families when they have a new baby or kind of have a challenge in their family or their parents are sick is critical to the evolution and the permanence of things like maternity leave and lactation support. We're not going to get anywhere if we think this is a unilateral solution or that it's a singular problem, right? It's back to the champions of change, but it's also about the recognition that, you know, men, nobody's ever really asked them what they wanted. My husband's favorite story to tell is that, you know, he didn't get paternity leave at work, or he certainly didn't take it, but he also didn't get to do the thing that a lot of women do when they're on maternity leave, which is to evaluate their lives, to say, you know, do I want to stay at work? Do I want to stay home? How do I want to have it? And, you know, I'm not saying that we should all be reevaluating our lives on every leave or every week, but we want to make sure that everybody has the option to see what's working for them and that they feel included in the solutions. So yes, men and M are welcome.
Excellent. Is there anything else you want to share with the SGEMers?
If there's anything else I want to share with the SGEMers, well, I already told you how to get to feminem.org. I can tell you that there's nothing related to Eminem, the singer or the rapper, because that's why we couldn't be at feminem.com. I want to tell you that the conference is going to be amazing, and I would love to see anybody there. And that if anyone has any issues or any ideas that they think we can do to help solve problems that are out there, that's the way we get great ideas, is when somebody says, I'm having this issue at work, I'm having this issue in my family, and I want to find a solution that's sustainable and scalable for everyone else. And then we create great stuff.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the SGEM and sharing your story and telling us all about Feminem.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure. I'd be happy to come back on again if there's any reason that you think that, you know, we can do this.
Well, anytime you want to find a paper that really inspires you or thinks changes your practice or your outlook on medicine, get a hold of me and we will talk a little nerdy.
Talk nerdy to me.
And I just want to remind people can still get their fix on Feminem. There's still time to register for the Fix 2017 conference if they go to feminem.org.
Yeah, tickets are open until August 18th. We have to close ticket sales then in order to make sure that we plan all the events that are really personal and developmental. So we won't be selling tickets at the door, and you can't register last minute. So please, 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 if you want to come to the conference, register soon. If anyone has any issues with registration or anything that they want to ask, please email me personally through the website or daracass@feminem.org.
Well, usually there is a Keener contest at the end of each podcast. There's not going to be for this one. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send you some cool skeptical prizes because I think your kids would love them.
They would definitely love them.
All right. It's that time. You've been waiting for it. Can you give the SGEM tagline?
Remember to be skeptical of anything you learn, even if you heard it on the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine.
Talk to everyone next time.